Brother Shane, can you help me out? I didn't grab my microphone from back there, and it should be sitting right there, I think. I may move around. Let me grab the handheld. I can use it. All right, I'm just going to grab a handheld, Justin. We'll be awkward today. All right, I'm just going to put it down right here. The pulpit here, and then that there. Very, very good. Thank you, David, for that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus. While you're turning there, I want to say happy 69th wedding anniversary to Brother and Mrs. Ornelas. And so, happy 69th anniversary. I'm not. Did you hear me, Miss Ornelas? Can you hear me? Okay, happy anniversary. It surprised you. Good. What surprised you more, 69 years or that I said something about it? Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? I hope to live to be 69 and beyond that and say married for 69, 70 years. I think it'd be wonderful. Amen. And so happy anniversary to them. And I'm glad you're here. And the ladies had a luau yesterday, and some of you luau'd a little too much, I heard, but we won't say who. That may embarrass one or two or sin 10, but I didn't really hear that, but I did hear it was a lovely time, and they had a great time. I want to thank my wife, Rachel, for the work and the hours that she put in. Doing the luau, and for those other folks came out and helped as well, so you better clap for them too. Very good. And it was a wonderful time. I was not invited once again. One of these days, I mean, my feelings hurt on that stuff. I like to be invited to things, but I'm good without a ladies' event. Amen. All right. Did you find Exodus chapter 12? We'll try to recover from all this. Memorial Day. We've mentioned a little bit about it already, of course, what we do here in America for Memorial Day, and it made me start thinking about how God moves and works in our lives. And I began looking for this idea of Memorial Day or memorials within Scripture. And there are several times where the Bible talks about having a memorial or setting a memorial for a particular event. I've talked about the one that we've done here in America, and I think we again need to continue that. I'm not really going to talk about that memorial as much as the memorial that we have in the Christian life. And there are five of them that we will find in the book of Exodus. And with each particular mentioning in the book of Exodus, I want you to take special note and pay special attention as we liken what is taking place in the book of Exodus to the Christian life. Now, I know that there is a difference between Israel and the children of Israel and the church. But there are some principles that I believe we can apply here and that we can liken unto the Christian life. And so as you look in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to be throughout the book of Exodus this morning as we move right along through it. But I think you will kind of see where we're going here. But I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down several passages through this. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs with the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And then look very closely at verse number 14. As the Lord says, and this day shall be a memorial for you, or unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Notice in verse number 14, once again, he says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And then notice a couple of lines down where he says, throughout your generations. So this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, very simply, from this verse, for a memorial. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, God, we are so grateful as we consider what has been done in our country by men and women who have given their lives that we might be free, and we're so grateful for that. God, we know all throughout the world there are people that are born into strict and heavy oppression. Places where it's not free to hold a service like we hold today and to even own a piece of scripture like we have multiple copies. And God, we just want to show our gratefulness and our thankfulness in where you have placed us in our lives for such a time as this. We're grateful for that sacrifice made. But Father, we know that there has been a greater sacrifice made by you, where your Son shed his blood upon a cross of Calvary as he gave his life for the entire world. God, may that be a sacrifice that we have as a memorial in our lives. God, may we remember on purpose. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and that we ask all of these things. As you consider Memorial Day and making a memorial, I want you to pay special attention to that word there, memorial. Of course, that is the word that we get in our English language, memory. Some of you have a wonderful memory. Some of you, if you're like me, it's you know, you have so many things to remember, it's hard to remember sometimes.
And there are times when we have to go through our lives and we say, if I'm going to remember this, I better write it down. Is anybody else like me that you have to write things down to remember? All right, good. You make me feel so good to do that. And some of you have to write it down or otherwise you won't remember. But, you know, there are some things that they're just easy to remember, right? I mean, how many of you have ever forgotten your own birthday? Anyone at all? You did, Randall? Oh, you're messing with me. I'm like, man, are you serious? Now, I've gone through a day and not realized or thought about it being my birthday before, but I know my birthday, September 13th, 1977. That's me. And if I asked every one of you, if I said, Catherine, what's your birthday? You're not going to tell the year. I wouldn't either. But I did. Kevin, when's your birthday? 73. David, when's your birthday? 3/19/57. Oh, well, you're the only one. Jason, when's your birthday? When's your anniversary? You don't have one yet. That's when you get married. Oh, he already knows when it is. March 24th, we're just waiting to find out who it is, right? He's marrying himself. Well, very good. Ben, when's your birthday? When is your anniversary? All right, he didn't hesitate, Debbie. Isn't that good? Good. When is your anniversary? 2016. You see how easy it is? We just remember those events. It's a memorial. You know, when we celebrate a birthday, when we celebrate an anniversary, there are other times that we memorialize, whether they're personal to us or whether it is a family event. But we have dates and we have times, and it's usually, again, surrounding an event that took place that we say, you know what, this is a day that I will never forget. Here in Exodus chapter 12, God is coming to Moses. We've already gone through the plagues in Egypt, and Moses has gone to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. As he told Pharaoh, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no, it's not going to happen. A couple of times he said, okay, but no, he changed his mind real fast. And here God is coming to Moses, and he is saying, Moses, this is what's going to happen. And we read all the verses pertaining to it. And to summarize all that we read, he said, I want you to go. He said, I want you to tell the children of Israel to kill a lamb. He specified all of the things that it had to be. He said, and I want you to place on the post of the door outside of the house the blood. And as you do that, he says, I'm going to pass over in the land of Egypt, and I'm going to kill the firstborn in every household that does not have the blood applied to the door. And then he said this. He said, in this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, in this particular portion of the plagues that God placed upon Egypt, it was probably the most important one. I mean, it'd be one thing to wake up and, you know, you find some frogs in your house. I mean, you can chew some frogs out. Now, I understand there was a lot of them. You know, there are some other things in the river turning to the blood, the lice, the flies, the locusts, and all of those plagues. You know, I can't imagine those things. But can you imagine the screams throughout houses on that morning of mothers that woke up to their firstborn being dead? I can't imagine. I wouldn't want to imagine that. It's
not a natural thing, but God said, this is what's going to happen. And I liken this event where God was establishing a blood sacrifice being placed for the salvation of people. I liken it to the New Testament sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, the Bible calls him, that was slain before the foundation of the world. But as Jesus shed his blood, he places it over the doorpost, so to speak, of our heart and of our soul and our spirit as God saves us and regenerates us. And I submit to you this morning that the first memorial that we should have in our lives is the memorial of the day that we got saved. You know, I know from time to time people will struggle with, and sometimes we wonder based upon sin in our lives of, we'll sometimes get to the place where we say, you know, I just don't know if I'm saved. And sometimes we can get that way. But I'll tell you, one of the ways to know that you know that you know is to memorialize it. That day, no one taught me when I got saved to write down the date. I wish I'd known the date that I got saved. Others have done that in your life, and you can name the day that you got saved, and you memorialize that date. I know I am saved. I can take you to the place. I can take you I can't necessarily take you to the chair that I knelt at, but I know where it was. I can picture it in my mind. Now, there's been times in my life early on in my Christian life that I thought and wondered because of sin in my life that I thought, oh man, there is no way a saved person would do what I have done. But guess what? A saved person did what I did. Right? Because I'm saved. And I know that I'm saved. You know, there are times now, Ben, I asked when his anniversary was. I think you were the only one that I asked when your anniversary is, but other than Jason, but he's marrying himself, so it doesn't really matter. But now, you said it was what year, 74? 79, I'm sorry. 79 on that. Now, I was not there, was I? No. So how do I know you're married? Because you told me. All right, that's one reason I know you're married, but I wasn't there to witness it. Now, I assumed when I first met you several years ago, both of you came together, you sat together, you have rings on, you wear a ring, right, Ben? You don't wear a ring. All right, next couple. I'm sorry, I thought you wore a ring. If I would have known, I wouldn't have asked. You have a good reason. Oh, well, that's why mine won't come off. But you know you're married. Have you ever thought you weren't married? Debbie, have you ever thought you weren't married? Rachel had to explain to people when Asher was born that she really was married. I was a little absent during a couple of days while she was in the hospital. She reminds me of this, and she would tell the nurses as they came in. She's like, "My husband, well, you know, he's coming," but she still knew. You knew you were married, right? I mean, I've never forgotten that I'm married. You know, just wake up, go to the store, and be like, "Oh yeah, I'm married." Where did that happen? No. You just know that you are. Just like, hey, I've never wondered whether or not I was born. Never one time. What about the day you were saved? Do you remember? Do you think about it? We ought to go back as often as we can to that day that we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. To be able to say and to recall, if not necessarily for anybody else, but for ourselves,
because God saved us. Oh, we most certainly did, and we ought to have a memorial day of the day that we got saved. God said, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. I want you to turn over to the next chapter, in chapter number 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto the fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season, from year to year. So here God is saying, you shall for a memorial remember what he saved you out of. Hey, I was dead in my trespasses and sins when God saved me. You know, sometimes I think about, for me, I was 8 years old, and when I got saved, and sometimes I think about, you know, how much sin can an 8-year-old get into? And then I had children. I learned more about my own depravity, about my own sin nature, from my children. Not that they're bad kids. I think they're fairly good kids. But my children sin just like your children sin. Now we always go to the worst when we talk about sin, don't we? Here's what we like to say. Well, I've never killed anybody. I would like to tell you that none of my 4 children have ever killed anyone. They've thought about it a time or two, usually a sibling. But they've not killed anyone before. They've, you know, there's many things they have done, but that's one of them they haven't done. And we like to go to the worst, but I will tell you, 8-year-olds can sin. They most certainly can. And I did, as did you. But, you know, even after my salvation, we know that there's still a sin problem. And I will be the first to admit that as I go through and I go back and I think back of what God saved me out of before 8 years old, I will just tell you, it's not as bad as it was after 8 years old. I've had worse sin since 8 years old. But yet God saved me from it. And I have to remind myself that even though I was dead in my trespasses and sins at 8 years old, no, I hadn't done horrible, rotten, despicable, abominable things like I did after that day. But I have to remind myself when I do those despicable, when I do those rotten and nasty and horrible things, that that's still what God saved me from. He saved me from that. And sometimes we have to set a memorial to remind ourselves what God has saved us from. Yes, He saved us, but He saved us from something. He saved us out of something. And you know, I'll tell you, there was a time in Israel's life, and when they first started going out, and even when they got into that promised land, there were times when they would say, oh, if we could just go back to Egypt. And there are times in the Christian life that sometimes we get to the place that we say, you know what, this Christian life thing is for the birds. It's just not what it's cracked up to be. It is not what I've been promised. Let me just fill you in on something very quickly here. Egypt was no place for the Israelites, and the world of sin is no place for a Christian. It's not what God intended. And a lot of times what we come to and we say, oh, it's not what I promised or what I was promised, usually that is the case of listening to a man rather than God. Amen? Or our lack of understanding of what God said. It's not what God said. It's not that it's not what we've been promised. God always fulfills His promises. But we must remember the day we got saved. We must remember what He saved us out of. Now jump over to chapter 17. We're going to move along. Chapter 17. This kind of goes right along with it. Verse number 14, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I want you to have a memorial here, as Moses said, right? As God said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears. I submit to you that we need to have a memorial that there is a continuous battle with our flesh. We will continue to have a continuous battle with the flesh as long as you and I are alive. It doesn't matter how old you get. It doesn't matter how old you live to be. You will not defeat and get away from this old nasty flesh until we die and join our Savior in heaven. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that our flesh will continue to be tempted. And when we beat one temptation, there will be another. I often use this illustration to tell you that, when I was a teenager and, 17, 18 years old, I had temptations just like every other teenage boy that I knew and know even today. And we know that there is no temptation common or uncommon, that no one, you're not the only one. But there are such common to man, all temptations. But you know, those temptations that I had at 17, 18, I don't have anymore. I was able to get over those. Amen. Now I'm 39 and I have new ones. And whether I live to be 49, I'm sure, I hope and pray that the temptations and the things that come into my life at 39, I won't have when I'm 49, but I'll probably have new ones. And so will you. We will continue to fight and battle the flesh. And we need to remember that. God said, write this down. Write this down. We don't need to become so haughty and so to the place where, hey, I've arrived. No. Because we haven't arrived. We are not in our final resting place. We have a home in heaven that God is preparing for us. We need to remember a memorial. I'm not talking about just, this is not just a common everyday thing. No. This is something that we must remember on purpose. This is something that we must remind ourselves. I still live in the flesh. I still have a flesh that must be defeated. I must battle continually with the flesh. Jump over to Exodus chapter 28. And I promise we're almost through. Exodus chapter number 28. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've been saved. God said, remember where I've called you out of. Remember, there is a continuous battle as you move ahead. But God is beginning to set some things in place for the children of Israel. In chapter 28, we come to the place where God is setting up the priesthood through Moses' brother Aaron. And as God is setting these things up, he is giving some instructions on the priestly garments. And I want you to look down towards the end of the chapter here in verse number 29. Or go to verse 28. The Bible says, "And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." I want you to remember and set a memorial that we, as a royal priesthood, have access to God. So what are some of the things that we get from being saved? I mean, hey, we have this. Now, we know through the New Testament, as Jesus shed his blood and has saved us and has called us and has placed us into the church of God and into the family of God, we are joint heirs with Jesus. And the New Testament tells us that we are a priest before. And as a priest, the only one that had the opportunity to come into the holiest of holies and stand before God was the priest. And Aaron was that priest. But when Jesus died, and he placed that blood on a place not built by hands of human nature. When he placed that there, and when we accept Christ into our life of what he did, we're made priest. And because of that priesthood, you and I have the opportunity to pray. Two things that most Christians struggle with in their lives as Christians are probably the two most simplest things we could do. But yet we all struggle with it. And that's reading our Bible and praying. We struggle in those two areas. It's possible that we just haven't set a memorial. Notice what he says here in verse number 29. He says to go to the middle. Into the middle of the verse there, he says, "In the names of the children of Israel and the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." Let me ask you something. Is prayer close to your heart? I hope it is. I trust that it is. But is prayer close to your heart? It is something that we must set in our lives as a memorial. That we must remember to pray. That we must remember to read our Bibles. It's been written down. If you'll turn over to Exodus 39, God continues to give instructions. He, in chapter 39, is going through and giving some of the same instructions that he gave in verse number 28. or chapter 28. He's describing again the priestly garments. In verse number 7, he says, or go to verse 6, he says, And they wrought onyx stones enclosed with ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. So we see this for a memorial again. When you drop down to verse number 40, he says, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins and the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel made all the work, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So we have and we see the children of Israel building this tabernacle and placing all of the things that God said, how to place it and where to place it and what should be placed and what shouldn't be placed, and all the way to the priestly garments. But I want you to notice what he says here, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office. You know, we ought to have a memorial day of the day we got saved. And we can remember what God has done in our lives. We ought to have a memorial day for where and what he saved us from and out of. We must have a memorial day to know that there is a continual battle with the flesh. A memorial day to understand that as a royal priesthood, we have complete access to God. And finally, number 5, we need to have a memorial day to know that God saved us to serve at his pleasure and not ours. Not ours. Notice, it says the cloths of service to do service in the holy place. 2 times the word service is used there. To do service. You say, well, this is the tabernacle. Well, we're the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. When we think of the temple in the New Testament, we know what the Bible says. And we ought to have a memorial day to remind ourselves that we serve at his pleasure. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? How can I serve? How can I minister to others? We need to get past the self-centeredness of our lives of saying, what can someone do for me? Or even still, not what someone can do for me, but sometimes we get to the place as Christians where we say, God, what will you do for me today? God, what will you do for me today? When we go to the Lord in prayer and we go through all of these requests, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? God, will you do this? And you can fill in the blank. You know how you pray. I know how I pray. But how often do we say, God, what can I do for you? God, how can I serve you today? Or are we just more interested in God serving us? We serve at his pleasure. And oh, that we may have a memorial for it. Because he saved us. And he saved us out of something, an awful life of sin. Yes, there's a continual battle, but we have access to his throne by His grace, that we might serve at His pleasure. What is it you're going to remember this year? Memorial Day is a special day. And I hope you know all about that. These are all things that we know as well. But can we spend some time pondering on, deeply considering what God has done in our lives that we might serve Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. What will you remember? What will you be remembered for? You see, we all have a legacy that we'll leave behind. It may be not as big as someone else's legacy, but we all have one. We will all be remembered for something. I trust and I hope that you and I will be remembered for our service for Him.